This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast. This is the Holy Eucharist for Monday in Holy Week, March 25th, 2024.
Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. Christ, who died for our sins, forgive the penitent. Christ, who shared our griefs, comfort the sorrowing. Christ, who thirsted on the cross, bring relief to the hungry. Christ, forsaken by all, be with the lonely and the sad. Christ, mocked and scorned, support the outcasts and rejected. Christ, who suffered great pain, be a strength to the weak. Christ, who died for us all, grant us your salvation. Christ, crucified, done to death, and buried, give us hope. Christ, who descended into hell, raise us to glory.
Lord, have mercy.
Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. We will light a light in the name of the Maker.
God of wisdom and the author of all peace.
We will light a light in the name of Christ. We will light a light in the name of the Spirit.
The Holy One brings us peace and comfort.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all peace, whose Spirit fills our hearts, be with us as we seek to share your peace that surpasses human understanding, that those whom we encounter on this earthly journey may see in our lives the reflection of your love. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated for the lessons.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice, or made it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you a covenant as to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The place where we are right. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world like a mole, a plow. And a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I think everyone here knows that I have three children, and I'm not going to name names, but two of my children are still at that point where anytime there's any kind of kissing on the screen, on the television screen, they're like, nope, I'm out. They just kind of, sometimes they'll just do this, you know? One will just be like, ew, and if it's a show they've seen a number of times, they know when it's coming up. One of them has it memorized, and he'll just politely find something else to do and be in another room for that scene and come back when it's over. They just, we're not watching any of that kissing stuff. We're not going to get into any of that nonsense. This is a big part of their age, I think, is just like, that makes me uncomfortable and kind of squirmy, you know. But and of course, if you don't have kids, maybe you know, you remember being a kid and feeling that way. Or maybe like, maybe you saw your parents kiss. Ew. I think when my kids see my wife and I kiss, they're almost as bothered as when they see us argue. Like, they're like, oh, gosh, what's, guys, please, stop, this, not this, right? There's something about that kind of intimacy that makes them uncomfortable. There's more to it than that, too. You know, I remember when I was 13, my dad came out of the closet to me. And, you know, I was more disturbed by the fact that I had to imagine him being attracted to anyone than I did that it was someone of the same sex. I was like, okay, gay, but you like people that way? Gross, you're my dad, you know? Like, there's this thing where we want to keep people from being fully human, and when we see things that are intimate, when we see things or have to think that thing, we kind of, there's a piece of us that kind of cringes, right? We have this story today. We have the story of Mary breaking open this costly perfume, pouring it on Jesus' feet, and then wiping the feet with her own hair. And this is a deep and profound gesture of intimacy. Now, I am not suggesting that Jesus and Mary had a relationship. This isn't the Da Vinci Code. It's the gospel, okay? It's not where I'm going with this. But romance and sex, that's not the point. Intimacy is intimacy. Connection, knowing one another, and care and vulnerability. And what Mary shows to this man who is not only her teacher, but her friend, and who we were reminded in this story is the one who literally raised her brother up from the dead. She drops to her knees and she pours perfume all over his feet. And she takes her hair and wipes it off. And you can imagine how uncomfortable everybody else was in the room. Judas, of course, is the one to say something because, of course, it's Judas, right? And John really makes sure to let us know what a dirtbag Judas is, as if we didn't already remember, right? We know Judas, hot mess, we get it, right? But in this moment, we totally, there's something about, Judas is like, oh, she shouldn't be doing that. You know, that money could have gone to the poor. Which is no different than the kid being like, change the channel, they're kissing. It's the same thing. It's a reaction to intimacy. He has to change the subject because the intimacy on display is more than he can handle. In fact, if we think about Judas and his relationship with Jesus, especially towards the end, there's so much of that betrayal is found in sort of a rejection of being closer to Jesus, loving Jesus on his own terms and not on Jesus' terms. Seeing Jesus as the Messiah, Judas wants him to be, and not as the one that Jesus actually is. We all, every single one of us, we simultaneously yearn for intimacy and are disturbed by it. We yearn to be closer, and that closeness also scares us. And I would argue that there is no scarier place for us and no place where we yearn more for that intimacy than with our God, the one who made us. Friends, we are literally created by the love of God and for the love of God. And not just in some sort of abstract, out there, ethereal way. In the here and now, we are meant to know and be known, to love and be loved by the one who made us. And that intimacy, the possibility of that intimacy, is both so thrilling and terrifying. We know, everybody here, we know intimacy requires vulnerability. And vulnerability is scary because we know we can be hurt. And so we don't talk about intimacy with God. We talk about doing the right thing in God's eyes. We talk about being the right kind of people. We talk about making sure that we're good and holy and not sinning or asking for forgiveness for our sins. And we ignore the foundational reality that the whole thing, our whole story, the gospel, all of it is about intimacy with God, about closeness with the one who made us, and with a deeper knowledge of our purpose in this world, a deeper understanding of why we are here. What is Jesus but the embodiment of God's vulnerability and God's desire to be intimate with us? It's as if God were to say, you want to see who I am? You want to know me? You haven't been able to see me. You haven't been able to call me by name. You haven't been able to know me. I'm just an idea. I'm just an abstract thing. Here I am. And we are both amazed by this and terrified. And so this week, this holy week, as we follow Jesus to the cross, Jesus is inviting us each day into a deeper intimacy with him and therefore with God, a deeper understanding of Jesus' very being, what he's about, which is what God's about. And of course, that leads us to the cross, which is both a sign of how afraid of intimacy with God we are, but it's also a sign of God's utter and stubborn, insistent vulnerability. God, in Christ, knows what's coming this Friday. It is not a surprise to him. And he continues to move forward in relationship with us. There is nothing more vulnerable than Christ on the cross. You know, we're very, you know, tasteful people. So all of the depictions of Christ on the cross we have, he's very strategically covered and clothed in some way. But he wasn't in real life. He was stripped down naked and nailed up to a cross for everyone to see. And there was nothing to hide. And there was nothing to cover. And there was nothing to make it look reasonable and acceptable. It was, here is God, right in front of us, completely laid bare and completely open to us, even at our worst. And we're afraid of rejection. We stand here 2,000 years later, still afraid to be rejected by the God who would stand naked before us and die for us. We're scared. And we'll talk about this week. Oh, I don't really like to talk about, you know, Holy Week and dwell on all of the awful things. And I don't like to think about Jesus as one who receives punishment and all that. Sometimes we sound just like Judas, making up reasons to ignore the intimacy right in front of us. We'll even use this story. I've seen this story be used where Jesus says, you will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. People will get into the nitty-gritty about, well, what is Jesus saying about our social policies, about how we care for the poor? He's not saying anything about that. And even our inability, our talking about that can signal our inability to just sit with the discomfort that is created by witnessing Christ in intimate relationship with another. We're scared. So we will make this week, and we will make this story, and we will make all these things about something other than what they are, which is that God loves us, that God is here for us, that there is nothing that God will not do to continue down that road of love with us. This is the truth of this week. So maybe my invitation for you this evening, as you walk this road this week with us, is to look for the places throughout the week where you are discomforted, where the thing that happens with Jesus or to Jesus or the thing that Jesus says or does shocks you or makes you uncomfortable. Maybe it's worth it for us to sit and think about what those things have to do with God's intimacy with us, with God's invitation to a deeper relationship of love and connection. Perhaps we can use this week to observe what we let get in the way. What we let get in the way of that relationship. Because one thing this week teaches us is that there is nothing that God will let get in the way. At all costs and at all measures, God will do all that God can for us to know our belovedness. Can we accept it?
We pray now for the needs of all people throughout the world, remembering that God offers comfort and peace to all creatures.
We bless you and we thank you, O God, for you have filled creation with the glory of life, for the light of the day and the darkness of night, for the sky, sea, and earth, and for the goodness that grows from the land, which nourishes us and brings us life.
We give thanks to you.
In remembering with thanks the times and places of plenty and well-being in our lives, we stand also in prayer with all who are denied these things, and we ask that all people not be forsaken in time of trouble.
Do not forsake us, O Lord.
Let the cry of the poor be heard, O God, in heaven and on earth. Let the hungry be fed and the oppressed be set free. Let those in our community who are sick or suffering know healing in body and soul. O God of all peace,
do not forsake us, O Lord.
Welcome those who have died. Comfort those who mourn them. O God of all hope,
do not forsake us, O Lord.
Let nations at war cease their strife, neighbors in conflict stop their arguments, and loved ones find peace at home.
Do not forsake us, O Lord.
Look, Lord, on your children who love your name and need your care and your comfort. Let our hands bear your love to the world that all may know your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God makes peace within us.
Let us claim it.
God makes peace between us. now it's time for our communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
In life and in death, may we be an offering to you forever. God, from whom all life comes forth, here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence and your peace, longing once more to be nourished. We hunger for wholeness in our lives, for unity on earth, and for peace among the nations. And we know that only in your love can such peace and unity be found. So with all that we are and all that we have, we join with all of creation as we sing your praise. Blessed is your Son, Jesus, who came to heal and bring wholeness by the forgiveness of sins. In life and in death, He revealed your glory in life and in death. He awakens in us the hope that all powers of evil will fall and that your love will reign. On the night before he suffered, Jesus took bread, and lifting it up and giving thanks to you, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Then he took the cup, blessed the wine, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink this, for this cup is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do these things, you shall remember me." And so, Father, Lord, we offer to you these gifts. We call now on your Holy Spirit to bless them, the holy bread of life and cup of eternal blessing, and make them be for us the food of heaven, the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Accept with them the sacrifice of our hearts, that all who share in this bread and this cup may be blessed in your love, and that through this love we may be instruments of your peace. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be what you see. Receive who you are, the body of Christ. The bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The bread of heaven. Standing stations, or do we do standing stations, or what? Okay, let's do standing stations. Sorry, we don't know. We don't know what we're doing. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. 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 Body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the body of Christ, which is given for you. Thank you.
Let us pray, saying together. We give you thanks, O God, for calling us together this evening and for sustaining us with this holy meal. This place is sacred, this time is sacred, and in the sacredness we have shared a mystery. May we in every place and time recognize the sacredness of life, and may we accept the mystery as we accept your love, with joyful faith and eternal hope, in Christ's name. Amen. Lord of all light, as we go forth into the world, we extinguish the lights that here represent the presence of the holy in our midst.
But we will carry the light in our hearts.
And we pray that as we go about our work in the world, we will shine with the love of God. Amen. And now, do not be afraid. God, your Creator, has made you holy, will always protect you, and loves you as a mother. And the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit be upon you always. Amen.
Amen.